Welcome to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
All right, well, welcome and thank you, Douglas, for a wonderful introduction. And I am looking out on the most beautiful city in the world as the sun goes down in Houston, Texas. And we are absolutely as live as you could be tonight. So just welcome to the program. As always, this next 60 minutes are my hope, my prayer, my dreams, is that we say something that you can actually not just be entertained by. Because, hey, this isn't entertainment. This is information. This is stuff that we want to get out, experiences that we have had in our life that we want to tell you how we made it through it, how you can get through it, how you can help somebody else through it. And let's face it, let's all just huddle up around the computer right now or the radio, whatever you're listening to it on or watching it on TV or whatever. We're in a world right now where we all need to reach out and grab each other's hands and say, let's work together. Whatever we have gone through and experiences in life, and we can help somebody else, then that may be the very reason we experienced that trauma or abuse or hurt to begin with. A hurt or a pain is never wasted. And that's what our goal is, that it's never wasted. It's something that we can turn from a negative situation into a positive impact on somebody's life. I am just honored that you have chosen to be with us tonight. There's a lot of different choices out there, but we have lots of people that listen to us each week. We have a lot of new listeners tonight. Have several new listeners from New Zealand. I have a special friend, a new listener that's in Connecticut tonight. We have some great California people, and we have all kinds of new people tonight that we have talked to all week and helped and counseled, and are just looking forward to this evening. If you want to call in, our guest tonight is a life coach, and when we actually get to her here just in a few minutes, you may have a question. You may have a comment. You may have just an encouragement of what you have endured, but feel free to call in, and our producer, Douglas, will take great care of you when he answers the phone, and that's 1-888-627-6008. And we would love to have your comments and thoughts or questions as you call in during this hour. A few things that I just want to share with you. I want to, a couple truths that I just want to let you know about that may change your life and your perspective on how you see yourself. As we start this program, just a couple truths, gold nuggets, nuggets of wisdom. Let's get, you know, let's theological nuggets of wisdom we're going to share with you. But just a few things I just want to kind of throw out at you that you can kind of write down. I want to let you know right now, you are not what has happened to you. You are not your past experiences. You are not your scars. You are not what someone else said about you. You are what you choose to become in this moment. Let go, breathe, and start over again today. Let that stuff go. And you're going to hear an unbelievable story tonight about how that is so important to let the past go and let it make you better and not bitter. Also, you are much more than the one broken piece of you. We all have this image in our own minds of ourselves and this idea of who we think we are. And when this idea gets chipped or broken or cracked in some small way, we tend to really, and I'm preaching to myself here, we tend to really internalize it. It's easy to let everything, all of you, it's just to feel like everything has fallen apart inside of you. It's all broken. That's not true. It's just one small piece of you that may be cracked. It's just not true because there's more that you are more than one thing in your life. You're so many things. And remembering this can help you stretch your identity so it's not so fragile all the time. So it just doesn't shatter when a small piece of you gets chipped. When you make a mistake, when you slip and stumble, don't let it totally destroy you. You are more than that one broken piece of you. Another truth that will change your life today, I promise you, other people's opinions of you are rarely accurate. They're just not true. Don't put that in your mind as being factual. And this goes on both sides. If somebody praises you to the utmost and just thinks you're the best thing since sliced bread, don't put too much weight into that either. But absolutely, if a person's telling you that you're worthless trash, don't put too much weight into that either. Other people's opinions of you are rarely accurate. Another one is you are worthy. You are as worthy as you believe yourself to be. You will never find your worth. Oh, listen to this one. You will never find your worth in another human being. You find it in yourself. And then you will attract those who are worthy of being with you. And that is life changing. And just one more, and then we'll get to the guest because I can't wait. One more. It's never too late. You aren't behind in life. You aren't just trying to, don't think I'm always trying to catch up. I just don't have time to do what we're going to hear tonight of how to change your life and be more positive and be more resilient. You're not too late. You aren't behind. You are exactly where you need to be tonight to make the difference of who you can be. Every step is necessary in the journey. Don't judge. Don't berate yourself for how long your journey's taking. We all need our own time to travel our own distance in our own way. So just write those down and hope that helps you as we go into another week here in June 2020. Next week, we're going to have a special Father's Day edition. So we want you to just be with us next Sunday night. Want to let you know that tonight we have a special guest with us, and I'm really excited about Elogia Penny being with us this evening. And Elogia is a certified life coach, and I don't know what that means, but we're going to find out what that means. She tries to help people connect with who they are, how to change their mindset to be more optimistic, how to build resilience by encouraging the right actions to take, to follow through, to be motivated, to get up and do what you need to do to become the best that you can be. And by age 25, she had become a celebrity photographer, a mother, and was finding her purpose through the trenches of life. And we're going to talk about those trenches tonight. Now, 5 years later, she has accomplished to be certified in domestic violence, adolescents and young adults, integrative mental health well-being in children, and complementary integrative health, and holistic and integrative health. And it is an honor to have with us tonight the life coach, Elogia Penny. I'm going to go ahead and tell the story of how I met Elijah. I was in a, while she calls back, I was in a conference speaking in Las Vegas. And it was at the Tropicana Convention Hall and Casino. And I had my booth there, meeting people and representing ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experiences, acesconnection.com. And also selling my book and autographing them and signing and meeting people and just having a great time interacting with people. And that's probably one of the biggest things I miss in this COVID area right now, era. I miss the interaction face-to-face. And Elijah walked up to the table and we talked. And I just knew there was something special. I knew this lady was going to make a difference in so many people's lives. And hopefully she'll be coming back with us. And she's on with us now. Okay. Oh. Elijah, can you hear me tonight?
I can hear you. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you. I know we may have difficult with technical difficulties. I was hoping you didn't get mad at me and hung up on me already.
Oh, no.
Welcome to the program. Tell me what, as we go into this, what you do right now, what motivates you to get out of bed to help other people as a life coach? Tell me what that means and what you do for people if they hook up with you to have you become their coach. What do you do for people? All right. Well, I'll tell you what. This is called live radio. While we're waiting for her to come on and making sure that we have the right connection so we don't keep dropping off, let me tell you that we have the new book is getting ready to be released. I'm trying to get this out as fast as I can, but I'm working on it and working on some other items to go along with it. And one thing that I am really excited about is the kids' version of the journal. And with this Overcoming the Darkness, the Roadmap to Hope, we're going to work on a kids' journal, a companion journal to go with the book that actually is their own version of that their book that they can kind of read, adapt to themselves, and then put their own emotions into the journal. It's going to teach them, I think, at a young age to learn how to journal. And I've learned over the years just how important that is. So just be, I appreciate you all being patient, but we have the book coming out soon, its companion journal. We also have the Roadmap to Hope product. And then on top of that, we're having a kids' book journal together that's going to be coming out all at the same time, and we're working on that as fast as we can, and hopefully it'll be coming out within a month or so. Elijah, are you with us now again?
I am here.
Okay, fantastic. Yes, I can hear you, and that's wonderful. I back to my initial question. First of all, welcome, and I told everybody while we were trying to reconnect with you how we met. And I thought that was a unique instance, and we knew immediately that something special was going to happen from that meeting. And I knew that you were a person that was going to make a lot of difference in people's lives. So as we start off the segment here, tell me what you're passionate about in this role as a life coach. What is a life coach, and what can you do for people when they connect with you in that realm?
Sure, absolutely. So a coach is someone who counsels and encourages clients on things such as careers, personal challenges, just basically overcoming, you know, their obstacles in achieving their goals. So, so that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Okay. And how long have you been doing this, Elijah?
I've been doing my work for a little over a year now. I started working with an organization, called Living Grace Homes in, Las Vegas, Nevada. Mm-hmm. And I was, working with teen mothers. So these girls, they were pregnant as well as homeless. So I worked with them, and you know, some of them I would help get to school, and just giving words of encouragement and really listening to them, taking the time out to really connect, in order for to really feel that they had a safe, you know, listening ear.
Okay. Why you were in the Las Vegas area, did you see some things that a lot of people don't, with women, young women that have been taken, put in sex trafficking or abused or you know, taken control of? Did you see any kind of part of that world while you were there doing the work that you were doing?
Oh, absolutely. There was actually a couple of girls I worked with, that, you know, were victims of sex trafficking as well as, domestic violence. And so just being in the environment, you know, and then also going, you know, I was in there kind of going through my own process as well, but still feeling like, you know, this is where I need to be. You know, I learned so much from these girls, and they thought that I was one of them, you know. Mm-hmm. That was the most important part for me, was for them to really relate to. So, mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, with the work that you're involved with the experiences that you've had, professionally, in the last years as a young lady trying to just figure out what you want to do in life, and in this niche that you've fallen into with the life coaching, which is an awesome place for you. And I would highly recommend people to contact you to have you help them. But what has happened, and we're going to take this really slow, and I always want to let people know that's listening, that any time that we talk about personal things, number one, don't go any farther than what you want to go, Elogia, and just share what you feel like you need to share. But I want you to break what silence you have that maybe you haven't let the whole world know about, and help other people that may be in the same situation that you were in those days, in your childhood. Tell me what's happened to you that caused you to become who you are today and to create a heart inside of you for these people that have been hurt in their own childhoods. Tell me a little bit about your upbringing.
So I experienced sexual abuse between the ages of about 3 and 10 years old by several different individuals, and the most dominant scene that plays in my head is me being pinned down to the floor by another little girl while I'm sorry, I'm kind of getting choked up here. I was being to the floor by another little girl. And while I was being pinned down by her, there was a little boy that was undressing, and then he proceeded to, you know, abused me. I won't go into details there, but he abused me. You know, he was naked as well. And so I remember screaming and just knowing that nobody was able to hear me.
Mm-hmm. And this is when you were at what age?
So this, I would say this is about maybe 7, 7 years old.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And my parents, they were going through a divorce around that time as well. So, so I do feel like, you know, that, you know, there's a lot of things that can kind of like fall through the cracks when certain things are going on in a child's life as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're gonna let you catch your breath a little bit, and take a big deep breath. And we're going to take our first commercial break. We're going to start, I'm going to drill a little bit deeper into this area and find out some of your emotions, some of your feelings, some of your fears that happened to you as a child during those years and how you overcame that. So stay with us. We'll be back in about a minute and 22 seconds on the other side of this first commercial break with Elogia Penny. So hang right with us for another segment of Breaking the Silence. We'll be right back. This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in June 2020 will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life. And this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in June 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on BBS Radio. All right, welcome back. I just love that commercial. I love the music. I could listen to that all day long. Want to welcome you back to Breaking the Silence. And while you have an opportunity, you may want to get on the website, shatteredbythedarkness.com, or the Facebook page and just look at things going on there. We will be having another giveaway for the book that's coming out. And as we approach more of the release date. So hang with us on that. And my son Curtis will let us know when that's going to be available for people to get involved. We still have a list of the winners that won the last little contest that we had. So when the book is in our hands, you will get the first editions of that. Elogia Penny is with us, a life coach. And she is just, Elogia, you just kind of, are you feeling okay? You with us?
Yes.
You hanging in there?
Thank you.
Okay. Just kind of that, you know, I think one of the hardest things in life to do is to say the words. And when it comes out of your mouth, to break that shell is hard. And I applaud you, and I appreciate you doing that to help other people. And when you said you felt like you were sexually abused for several years, from your earliest memories, maybe it was around three and a half, all the way up to 10 years old, and you shared with us one of those instances while your mom and dad was going through a divorce. You know, divorce is hard enough for children. We always say, you know, children are resilient, but when you add on top of that some of these things that you went through, tell me what was going through your little innocent mind while these things were happening to you frequently by not just one perpetrator, but different ones. What was your mind going through, Eloja? Can you let me inside that for a second?
Sure. I'm not too sure about the earlier years because, you know, I was so young. I think it was just a blur to me. You know, I remember it. However, I think at that age, you know, you kind of, it's like you know how to even put that into words. There's no way to really explain what you're going through. You just know that it doesn't feel right and that, that something's wrong, you know, and, and in the later years, I would say that, you know, it,
it's okay. No, it's okay.
I think in the later years, for me, it's a question whether I was important. I think I started asking myself, like, why? Why am I here? You know?
So did you have that same image in the mirror that I still have periodically? That you look in there and go, I have no value. Did that ever hit you as a child?
Oh, yeah.
Because
yes,
of what
absolutely.
Was happening? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you know, then we, because we, it kept happening, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. You have the, yeah.
Because it kept happening, it was, you know, I just felt like, how is this, why is this happening to me? Over and over again, I don't understand.
Yeah. Now, without, because I have no idea if you've had discussions with mom and dad or if they're still around. I don't know that. But did you ever tell anyone during any of those instances what was going on, or did it become your own private pain?
Well, for the longest, it was my own private pain that I can remember. And then now that I'm actually thinking about it, it's I do actually remember my mom. I do remember my mom, you know, speaking on certain things. And I do remember when I had the incident with the little boy and the little girl. I remember her actually, raising hell, you know, going over there and trying to address, you know, what was going on with me. I think, you know, as a child, it's like we just want something to be done. But we don't know what that is and what that means. But I think it's important that children know that they're protected, you know, and that their parents, or family would do something if something happened to them.
Yeah. Take me through. Just the one concept of the words self-worth, self-image, self-confidence, just those words, those inward words of what you thought of yourself during all the years up to now. How has that transitioned? How was that impacted by what had happened to you in your life? And how has that progressively become a point to where now you can say, hey, wait, I am proud of who I am and I want to help other people become successful too. Tell me what kind of transition you had in that emotionally and inside your head.
Right. I remember going to school when I was old enough to, you know, really start dressing myself and getting into my own style, I remember going to school, I would say this is around high school, I would layer my clothing. And
yeah,
I wasn't doing it on purpose. It was an unconscious thing. And someone actually called it to my attention, like after high school, and told me, like, do you remember you always used to wear black? You always used to wear gray. And I do remember that. I remember constantly layering my clothing. I would probably wear a pair of leggings or tights underneath a pair of jeans. And mm-hmm. then that would be layered with socks on top.
Mm-hmm.
I would wear an undershirt and then a shirt over that, as well as maybe a hoodie and then like a jacket. I was trying to cover myself as much as possible because I didn't want to see me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's when I feel like I was trying to hide myself. I became invisible.
Yeah. How did and how does, this isn't something that doesn't affect you still today, but how does what's happened to you in just this area, because we're going to talk about the boyfriend situation and the relationships later on. How does that deal with your relationships as a child and now even as a 30-year-old? How trusting are you now? Tell me how that has affected your relationships from what's happened to you in the past.
So as a child, I remember rejecting hugs from my father as well as my grandfather's, because I didn't want anybody the opposite sex to be in physical contact with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was huge for me. I did not want them talking to me, or I'm sorry, I did not want them to have any contact. And so now, you know, I find myself sometimes still looking to be heard, looking for that connection. And so, you know, whether it's through phone calls or, you know, or simply saying, like, I need that extra, you know, 10 minutes to talk, you know. And so that's kind of how I've transitioned from mm-hmm. then till now.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, as a child, we've kind of touched on it and about some of the abuse. But let's get you up to your teenage years, to where you start noticing boys and boys start noticing you, and you start having relationships, and you start falling in love, and, you know, those kind of things that every teenager does. What happened in your life during those years in your world? What happened?
Mm-hmm. So, because of the abuse that came from the little girl, I mm-hmm. actually struggled a little bit with my sexuality. So puberty was like a gray area for me because of her. You know, I was trying to figure out you know, was I, you know, who am I supposed to be with? What am I the most with? You know, who, what am I going to identify as? I guess that, you know,
right.
I mean, at that age, we didn't really have a lot of conversations, you know, about sexuality and things like, you know, like that. But, I definitely struggled with that. And, oh man, after experiencing the abuse, you know, from, you know, the opposite sex, I shielded myself and I just knew that I was not going to give up my virginity to anybody, at all. You know, they proved themselves to be worthy of that. And mm-hmm. so I was actually, so yeah, just growing up, going through high school, I wasn't into dating, I would say. That wasn't like a
right.
thing for me. And so, and, you know, I didn't consider it, until I was really after high school, I would say, is mm-hmm. when I actually started to, you know, explore that. So, let's see, with my children's father, that phase came when I was 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And the experiences that you had in that world, tell me about those.
Because I was still transitioning from all of, you know, out of the abuse and, you know, and trying to now find myself, I ended up with someone who I feel like I was supposed to be with him at a point in time anyway, because I actually met him through, on two separate occasions. But it was interesting. We had a mutual friend that went to two different schools, that we went to. And then I also, I was also introduced to him by, a family member. And so if she's listening, I want to make sure that she knows that she does not have to continue to hold on to that guilt either, that she's been feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so yeah, it was around the age of 18, and I remember us just talking. We talked and I don't want to call it dating, because see, we didn't go out. We didn't, I now know that I wasn't courted, properly. And, one thing that I do want to shed light on is, our dating terms, such as like, catfishing and,
mm-hmm.
you know, different terms like that. And so my first red flag, and I'm sorry if I'm sounding a little bit scattered, but
you're fine.
My first red flag was that this essentially ghosted me. He didn't respond for a while. I kept texting him. I kept calling him. And I actually couldn't get in touch. I actually could not get in touch with him. And I didn't stop. I kept trying to get in touch with this person. We were actually supposed to meet up. He stood me up, and he never contacted me to let me know that he wasn't coming. He didn't, you know, he didn't say that, he didn't apologize to me for not showing up or anything like that. And see, all of that went out the window. I still was looking for that connection. And now I know that a lot of that stems from the divorce that my parents were going through, and just kind of like being in an unstable, you know, situation.
Right.
So I was looking for the stability. I was looking for someone to connect with me who was time and their energy. And that's what I found in this person.
Mm-hmm. And how long did that relationship last, and what ended up dissolving that relationship?
That relationship lasted almost 8 years. Mm-hmm. And I ended up pregnant when I was 20 years old. I had my daughter when I was going on 21. Mm-hmm. And I remember just breaking down so hard, because now I went from having absolutely no responsibilities to, you know, to the whole world revealing itself to me all at once. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm about to be a mother. And I was still holding on to the sexual abuse trauma. So, you know, I didn't receive any real like counseling or therapy or anything like that. So when I became pregnant, it's like all of that came up for me, because I did not want my child to ever experience anything that I had been through.
Right.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. We're gonna take a short break right now. We'll let you catch your breath a little bit, and we're going to look at the other side of this commercial break and talk about finishing this up, and then we're going to talk about how to. I want to finish up on a positive note. If there's young ladies listening tonight, of how they need to find their own hope in them, and what you recommend to them if you were talking face to face with them in the same room. So we're going to get into that on the other side of this commercial break. Hang with us. Don't leave. We'll be right back for the final segment of Breaking the Silence. Be right back.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and The Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All right, here we are for our last shortened segment here with Eloja Penny. And we're talking about, and I really want, because I always like to end the program, and I knew we'd run out of time, and Eloja, we'll just have you on another time and just keep talking and drilling and digging, and I want you to share. But just as we try to turn the corner on people that need to hear steps, hope, encouragement, resiliency, all those things after what you've experienced in your life, and we didn't even scratch the surface. We just talked very vaguely about your life. Have you ever thought about, before we go any further, have you ever thought about writing a book on this?
Yes, I am actually in the process of writing my story. Yes.
Yeah. I think when you actually get to where you're, you know, in front of the computer and doing it page by page by page, and you go into each one of those instances that you remember and you share the different emotions, it's hard to do it on a program where just somebody says, hey, tell me about your life. And it's hard to pour it out like that. So I hope you do. And I encourage you because that's, people need to hear how you endured and what you learned from those things and how you made it through it. So if you had, and I know there are, young women listening, matter of fact, I've got some texts from some tonight that are listening to you right now on the program and saying they hear you clearly and understand what you've gone through. What would you say to them? How can they make it through it? What's your advice for them if you was one-on-one with them right now?
I would just say, be the adult who your inner child should be. Have the patience with yourself and allow yourself to be patient with others as they're going through their process as well, because nobody's perfect, and you'll be able to forgive, which is the most important thing is forgiveness. You know, everybody starts from somewhere, you know, and everybody has their own personal journeys. So there, it's so easy to blame other people, but the goal is to boost yourself up, to make sure that you understand that, you know, the steps that you need to be taking are the ones that are going to get you closer to your goals, closer to your dreams. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's like you want to give yourself the focus. You want to give yourself,
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to jump on a word you just used, forgiveness. How important is forgiveness to be able to get to the level, the next level in your life? Is it possible to do that while you're dragging all the baggage of unforgiveness behind you? Or do you need to let that go? And how do you do that, Eloja? Forgiveness. It's tough, isn't it?
It is tough because there's times where you just don't want to. And that's okay. Right. But I think what we need to make sure of is that we surround ourselves with, you know, with places, people, things that are positive, you know. You know, I was able to forgive because I now understand that people are products of their environment. and sometimes there's a lack of guidance or consequences that cause them to do the things that they don't even know that they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, so I say that we're all children and we all can learn at any time. And we just need to give ourselves that chance and that opportunity. Both.
Okay. And I always, while I'm listening to the guest, I'm always looking at, I have three different computers going, and my cell phone with text and responding and reading what people are saying. I got a text, from somebody in Phoenix, Arizona just now and said, you are so unbelievably strong to share what you've just shared with the world tonight. Now, where's that strength come from? Where do you get that inside of you to get up and keep on keeping on? Where's that come from, Elosia?
I'm going to have to give this one to my daughter.
Okay.
Her coming into my life, that was huge. She is what changed my entire life. Like I said before, I had no responsibility prior to her. And when I became pregnant, you know, I transitioned out of the mindset that it's just you. You know, I had somebody who was getting ready to come into the world that I had to be an example for.
Mm.
You know, I had to be that walking light, mm-hmm. so that she can see through the dark. You know, and it's, she's who I look at every single day. And, you know, I thank her because I remember her telling me, Mommy, you're so brave. And mm-hmm. I tell her all the time how brave she is. And I'll have to go more into my story with, you know, the domestic violence, because she protected herself and her brother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this was a couple years ago. And she's 9 now. And you never know how your kids are going to react to certain things. But her instincts just kicked in, and she was able to do what she needed to do to protect herself and her brother. You know,
yeah.
So I definitely have to say that she has been the one that has given me so much strength.
Yeah, and we didn't get into much of the domestic violence portion of this, and we'll just say that there were some issues because we are, you know, winding down, and we may hit that on another program if and when you want to do that. But so with your ability, you know, this word that is being used so frequently anymore, resilience, I'm not a big fan of that word, but everybody's using it, so you have to. Matter of fact, I have a chapter in my new book called Resilience, because there's just not another word really to cover what that really means. But how do you build resilience in you, and how do you recommend young women that are in situations, whether it's being overcoming the past trauma of sexual abuse or they're in a domestic violence situation now, to be able to encourage them to find the resilience inside of them? How do you do that?
Absolutely. I listen to a lot of morning affirmations. I listen to a lot of subliminal rain and nature sounds at night while I'm asleep. And I pray every day just to kind of center myself and make sure that I continue to check in with myself. You know, I write, you know, I journal, and
oh, there it is.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. And I try to stay in contact and communicate with people who have no problem with supporting me. You know,
that's good.
And so that's something that I have to thank my family for and my friends. I actually have to separate myself from a few people because sometimes you're not aware of, individuals who may not take your situation, you know, seriously. And so, you know, so I
they become toxic. Yeah, they're toxic to you, right? They're poison. They're toxic in your relationships
if you allow them. Right, and they can actually be the ones to lead this other person straight to you because they feel bad by being manipulated.
Yeah.
You know, because there was I just have a quick example with you know, my kids and some of my a couple of my friends that I have separated myself from. That they were contacted by, you know, my ex, and they were made to feel bad and feel sorry for him. So they actually gave him more energy than giving me.
Mm-hmm.
So by me saying that, I mean they were able to feel sorry for him instead of giving me that, you know, or feeling and
right.
and hearing what I was actually saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand. Now, okay, we're down to about a minute and a half. Life coaching. If somebody wants to, if they've heard your heart and they want to connect with you and they want to contact you and they want to know more about what you do, maybe how you can help them, what's the best way, Eloja, that they can get in contact with you? What's your preference?
Sure. I'm sending everybody to YouTube right now.
Okay.
Type in Eloja the Life Coach and I'll pop right up. My information is actually in the About section in YouTube, so that's where
okay,
I'm.
That's, okay, that is Eulogia, the Life Coach, on the YouTube channel. They can get all the information, contact information off that. That's right? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes,
okay.
They can
yeah, so that's
that.
That's the best way. Okay. Well, tell you what, I applaud you and I thank you. I appreciate you being the champion that you are and sharing with us tonight and just coming on and opening up your heart for the entire world and letting us look inside for a few minutes and helping other people. And from my texts and emails, you've impacted lots of people this evening and more as this goes out into the podcast world than what you'll ever know. And, Eloja, I'm looking forward to, getting to know you better, doing some projects with you. And, as we go along this journey together, just, we'll take this as far as together as we can and try to help as many people as we can. And I appreciate you being on the program and sharing tonight. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you so much, Gregory, and I appreciate all of the listeners as well.
Fantastic. I appreciate it. As we close out tonight, I always like to say, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're involved in, no matter what's happened to you or no matter where you're headed, I want to let you know there's always one word that is powerful that you have access to, always, and that is hope. On behalf of Doug Newsom, our producer, this is Greg Williams. Inviting you to join us next week for another edition at 8 p.m. Central Time Sunday night of Breaking the Silence. Y'all have a great week. God bless, and we'll talk to you next week. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.